You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is a Locked On NFL podcast. Change of plans. Yeah, I originally, a lot of new listeners, so usually we talk to Sage on Tuesdays, but I had a bunch of appointments and personal stuff, so I bumped him to yesterday. But then some other things came up, and I ended up with some free time here, so I figured I'm going to give you guys a bonus podcast. And we haven't done Twitter Thursday, Twitter Tuesday in a while. So I threw out, all I needed was one tweet last night, and got tons of responses from you guys. So a lot of them are common themes, so I've kind of lumped them together. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to do kind of a quick show with some Twitter questions that many of you asked. Again, some real common themes. In the meantime, I urge you greatly to check out the rest of the Locked On Network. Really good stuff out there. Every Sunday night, I've been bringing on hosts from other NFL podcasts, you know, that we do on the Locked On Network. Gives you a taste of what else is out there. But, of course, we also do college. We do NBA. All of those wonderful things. Several of you asked me a kind of a common theme question was, hey, do you miss scouting? Do you miss being with a team? And I've been asked that a lot since I've left the Browns was the last team I was with. Before that, I was director of football ops at the Akron Zips, and I was the recruiting assistant at the University of Pittsburgh for 3 years before that. So the answer is yes and no. Any of you that have been with a team, for me at least, I mean, I wasn't athletic growing up, so I wasn't on a lot of teams late in life, but I loved the team environment. I do miss that. I miss game day. There's no doubt about that. The excitement, the value in winning and losing, you know, everything that's on the line. I miss the connections, you know, that I pretty much kind of am a hermit. I mean, like, I don't see a lot of people with my job, a ton, or not a lot. I mean, I'm down at the Steeler facility and, you know, I go to the combine, things like that. But it's not like where you meet new recruits all the time or, you know, the team graduates 20 dudes and you bring in 20 new ones or, you know, all the coaches and whatnot you meet, players you meet year to year, all the changes that happened, or, you know, you switch teams like I did a couple times and it's a whole new staff and you get really close with the staff. So I definitely miss that. And I also miss the resources of knowing those people and learning from them for sure too. Like, oh, this guy has a really good take on wide receivers get off the line of scrimmage or whatever it is, you know, offensive line hand placement, you know, whatever it is. But you obviously can learn from really smart people. So I do miss that. However, I mean, I'm sitting here in my basement, bellied up to the bar in a t-shirt, actually my Akron football t-shirt, I have about 100 of them, and workout shorts. And my wife's working upstairs. I got the kids on the bus this morning. I'll be home when they get off, you know. So I absolutely like that aspect of it. I mean, I watched last night's game in the Lazy Boy, you know, I mean, just sitting there taking a couple notes, you know. So that aspect, making your own schedule, not having to get up and go to work, quote, is wonderful. I mean, and all of you would be jealous of that, and hopefully some of you have that in your job as well. So for the most part, no, it would have to be quite the opportunity for someone to be like, hey, do you want a scouting job in the league? Because the other thing is, too, all my family, extended family, are in the Pittsburgh area, too. And if I had to move to Kansas City or Seattle or something like that, no offense to those towns, it would really uproot my family and be a problem. So I'm quite happy with what I'm doing, is the bottom line. And many of you asked, and I appreciate the sentiments. A couple other questions. Well, there's a lot of other questions here. It's going to be a good show. Brooke Stevens asks, is Josh Adams ceiling Latavius Murray, or could he be better? He's been Adams has been better than I thought. Murray's been a little bit better than I thought. I'm generally not a fan of guys with that body type, and I have not been in Murray's corner. But he moves pretty well, and I think Murray is a better mover than Adams. And I need to watch more of Adams, but he's been good the last couple weeks. I think Murray wins a foot race for sure with those guys. Maybe he's a little more explosive. I think Adams is a little more downhill, pound you, get stronger as the game goes on, more powerful player. But I guess that's a decent comparison. You know, like Brandon Jacobs comes to mind too. But I don't think Adams is quite as tall or as leverage challenged as Murray. I don't think either is a one. I think both are a two and have value depending what your running back situation looks like. But I absolutely think the Eagles need to add somebody. Somebody with a little more Zuzu. Somebody with a little bit of juice. So we're going to take a quick break. That's a good question. I'm going to think about that one more and get back to you even more on that. But I like Adams. He's a nice find, but I think he's kind of limited too. We are going to take a quick break, be back, and there's a lump of questions about the AFC here that I want to address. So we'll be right back here in a moment. All right. Talon asks, the Chiefs are AFC Super Bowl favorite through 12 weeks. How would you rank the top few AFC teams for a Super Bowl run? Thanks, great show. And then Dominic Senska asks, take a look at the schedules and give us your projected playoff seeding and outcome. And then JPay57 asks, between Patriots and Steelers, who has the most difficult schedule and what potential impact happens to playoff seeds? And Charles asks, what are your Super Bowl picks at the moment, at this moment? So they all kind of lump together. And with all respect to the Rams, I'm going to take the Saints in the NFC. And I think they end up with home field advantage, and I don't think anybody goes into New Orleans and beats them right now. I mean, I just don't. Rams are great. There's no doubt. I think the Saints are a little better quarterback, certainly better on defense, although the Aaron Donald factor does loom. So let's go to the AFC. And yes, Kansas City's clearly the favorite. And this is unfair. I just don't know that I trust them. And I love Andy Reid and I love Mahomes. But I kind of think next year's going to be their year. Like, their defense worries me. And the coach-quarterback combination worries me, especially when you compare it to New England and to a lesser degree Pittsburgh in a tough game. And we saw Kansas City lose in the first round of the playoffs last year. You know, like, I tend to think it's going to be like, we're going to look back at their year and be like, boy, they were the one seed. They had an awesome year. We'll all pick them to win 12 games next year, but they stumbled in the playoffs. And that's just a hunch. But their remaining schedule, they go to Oakland. They host Baltimore. They host the Chargers, they go to Seattle, and then the Raiders again, which maybe they don't even need that game. I bet there's one stumble there. I bet they either lose the Chargers or in Seattle. The Patriots versus Steelers schedules are interesting because New England has two tough games, really. They host the Vikes, which I'm assuming they'll be favorites in that. I'll double check obviously later in the week. Go to Miami, where they have struggled at times. That's not a gimme. Come here to Pittsburgh in week 15, and then they close out the season at home against the Bills and home against the Jets. And I know you guys are calling me Steeler homers, but the division that the Patriots have played in for the last 15 years is the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life, okay? Let's just get that out of there. Anyway, but that's not hard. I mean, to me, that's probably one more loss for New England, which means they'll probably be the two seed. Steelers' schedule is certainly harder, which makes that Denver loss all the bigger. The Chargers come here to Pittsburgh, Sunday night game. Steelers then go to Oakland, and the Raiders are terrible, but they never play well there. They host New England, as I mentioned. They go to New Orleans in week 16. Ouch. Like, to me, that's the difference. That's why New England ends up with the higher seed. Then the Steelers host the Bengals, who they might be done already. I mean, that might be rest your starters. Bengals have made tee times already. So Steelers have the harder schedule and they'd have to absolutely have to win the New England game. But even if they do, I think that the Steelers lose in New Orleans and New England has an easier schedule. So that really favors them. Let's talk about Houston and the Chargers real quick while we're at it too. Like I said, the Chargers come to Pittsburgh, host the Bengals. That's a win. As mentioned, go to Kansas City, host Baltimore, finish in Denver. Ooh, I don't like that in Denver. It's week 17 weather. I think the Chargers absolutely could go to the Super Bowl and are a very, very good team. But it's going to be a wild card run, almost 100%. I mean, and they probably have two or three. They probably have two losses left out of their five. I mean, I don't love that in Denver game. I don't like going to Kansas City. I don't like going to Pittsburgh. So there's a couple stumbles there. But it wouldn't shock me at all if they go through the, you know, it's not like they have home field advantage anyways. It's going to be a tough slate, obviously, but they could absolutely represent the AFC. Houston was impressive. I apologize, a little bit of a cold. I'm a little snotty. Houston was very impressive last night, and their schedule's very favorable. You know, they host the Browns. They host the Colts. So that's not an easy game. Go to the Jets. They're going to win there. Go to Philly. What are the Eagles going to look like at that point? And then Jacksonville at home to end it up, and I think Jacksonville's cashed it in too. So Houston's going to win that division. They're probably the three seed, you know, with maybe one more loss on the schedule, which means they get that sixth team in the AFC, which might be Denver, might be Indy, probably win that one. I think Pittsburgh then gets San Diego or gets the Chargers. So maybe that Sunday night game is a first of two. I think that's very, very possible. Meanwhile, the Patriots and Chiefs are chilling out, and they get to host a game. So my, making a long story short here, I think I'm going to pick the Pats to go to the Super Bowl. And it's hard for me to say that, but it's harder for me to say Belichick and Brady are going to lose at home or in the AFC Championship game. You know, like, just the experience and everything we've learned, and that late bye, I think, helps them, and Michelle coming back makes them a better, well-rounded team, take a lot off Brady's plate. And I know that's boring, but I think that they just figure it out and play their best football after Thanksgiving, as usual. And somewhere the Chiefs stumble. And I just have this hunch that we're going to see the Chargers or Steelers or somebody like that in the AFC Championship game in New England, and Brady wins another and goes to the Super Bowl, you know, and loses to the Saints. Again, that's not super exciting to say the Patriots are, you know, the team to beat, but I don't think they are, but I think somehow they just get in. Joe Gear 24 asks, if Jags have to pass on a QB in the first round, what's the next position they need the most? This is an interesting team. And actually, there's two questions here. Denozer asks, what do you think the Jags will do at the quarterback position this offseason? Cut Bortles? It's funny because my co-host Dale Lawley and I on Steeler Nation Radio really dug into the Jags big picture. And I actually did it with the Locked On Jags host. I urge you to check his stuff out, too. He wrote a good article about this, that they're all of a sudden, with all their spending and kind of overspending, they're all of a sudden in cap problems. And they signed Bortles to a two-year deal. It's a bad financial move to cut Bortles, but if they look at it and say it's addition by subtraction to get him out of the building and just start over and not look his face anymore and get him out of here, cut him and take the cap hit. But their cap is really a problem right now anyway. And there's talk of moving on from like Calais Campbell and Church and Jackson. And you got guys like Ramsey and Fournette coming up for contracts now soon. That the crime was not bringing in anybody else last year, you know, like draft Lamar Jackson, or even like I always keep saying, take Mason Rudolph in the second round. At least you have somebody that you can evaluate and maybe gives you hope. I think they're going to be back to being really bad. Like I said this yesterday on the air, you look at the history of the Jags, it's like pick the top five, pick the top five, pick the top five, pick the top five. 2017, AFC Championship. Wow. You know, like flatline, flatline, beep. AFC Championship game. This year, back to picking the top 10. And it might be for a while. I mean, it might be the next couple years, because I don't see an easy quarterback fix. Adding a Winston or a Carr or somebody like that is going to be expensive, and they don't have a lot of money to do that. It's a bad deal, man. I mean, they're going to have to cut a lot of dudes. And then that goes back to what's their second biggest need, because they're going to create needs by having to release some of the guys you think you can count on. I mean, right now on paper, I don't see a massive need. I'd love to see him at a tight end. Maybe one, another offensive lineman, a guard possibly. But their needs aren't that dramatic outside a quarterback. And maybe they need to add two quarterbacks, to be honest with you. But they're going to create needs. And I think that's a big reason they drafted Taven Bryan, was because they knew that Jackson and Campbell and some of these foundation pieces that they spent a lot on aren't going to be around much longer. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, what are we hanging our hat on here? I think they're going to go back to being one of the worst organizations in the league. It's a rough go of it for sure. All right, we are going to take one more break. I got a couple other good questions here, including some Hall of Fame talk, which is going to be fun. Be back in a moment. All right. My man Joshua Silber asked, can you discuss the Hall of Fame semifinalists, Ed Reed, Tony Gonzalez, probably Bailey, talking about Champ, are first-timers in. Who else should get in? I pulled up the whole list here, and I'm just going to buzz through them quickly. Steve Atwater, I don't think so. Champ Bailey, I agree, yes. I think Rondé Barber is a close no. I think Baselli should go, but he's already been up, and I don't think he does get in, although I would vote him in. Isaac Bruce is probably a short, barely not quite guy. Leroy Butler, to me, is a no. Don Coryell, I've been on the table for. I don't think he's going to get in, but I think he's deserving. I think Faneca should go. I mean, 10-time. I mean, it was 10 years. He was basically the best guard in the league with Hutchinson. Tom Flores, to me, is a no. Tony Gonzalez is an easy first-time yes, as you mentioned. Torrey Holt and Bruce, I mean, who's more deserving? And do they kind of cancel each other out a little bit? I think they kind of do. Steve Hutchinson, does him and Faneca hurt each other? But I think he's absolutely a yes. Edge James, probably Hall of Very Good, not quite. Probably the same for Jimmy Johnson. Probably the same for Ty Law. Probably the same for John Lynch. I don't think Clay Matthews is a Hall of Famer. I don't think Kevin Mawai is a Hall of Famer. I don't think Mecklenburg's a Hall of Famer. I don't think Sam Mills is a Hall of Famer. I think Ed Reed is a very easy Hall of Famer right behind Gonzalez. Richard Seymour, I don't think will get in, but I think he's deserving. And he's one of the best defensive players I've seen, but doesn't get the credit for it. Probably because of the nature of the position he played is basically a 3-4 end most of the time. Zach Thomas, to me, is not a Hall of Famer. Hines Ward, might surprise you, I do not think is a Hall of Famer. Same with Darren Woodson. So, I mean, it's a good group, that's for sure. Kind of another all-time question Joshua Silber asked me. Has Big Ben passed Bradshaw as top Steelers quarterback of all time? And I think yes. I mean, 2 rings compared to 4. I mean, you win 4 in 6 years is pretty damn good. But his supporting cast was extremely strong in the 70s. And Ben's had a good cast, too, over. But, you know, Ben's played a long time. Times are so different. I mean, he throws so much more that you can't compare the stats. I mean, it's just not even, it's night and day. Although, when Ben came in the league, I remember he had a dozen attempts, hand the ball to Jerome, win with defense. But that's obviously changed. It's a good discussion. I just think, and obviously I'm much more refined as an evaluator now than Bradshaw. And Bradshaw is a lot of word of mouth to me and highlights and things like that. But I think Ben's the superior player just on the eyeball test. Stephen Bounds asks, why don't the Titans ever give Henry a lot of touches? He just seems built to be a high volume running back. It's a good question because it's part of the problem is if he were better, if he were Adrian Peterson, then you give him a lot of touches. And that's what he needs. And when he gets rolling, he can be really effective. But in order to do that, you're not giving the ball to somebody else who's probably a better player. So it's an odd situation. And actually, this next question kind of rolls into that too is, Beto K. Brummy, it seems the Bears can't get Jordan Howard going with any consistency this season. Is it scheme or line play? Could you see the Bears trading Howard if he isn't a scheme fit? Like, I think both these guys would be better off elsewhere. because both those offenses are similar, you know, in how they're designed in Tennessee and Chicago with these new coaches that inherited the big downhill back. Howard, to me, is a better runner, a better pure runner, better vision, a little bit better change of direction, patience than Henry, but Henry's freaky. And they both need volume. They both don't help you much in the passing game. I mean, they need it to be 1985. They need Terry Bradshaw handing them the ball. And because they inherited these guys, I think that they would be wise to consider moving on, you know, be better used in other places. And it's kind of the same thing. I think Howard's the better player, but they both need volume to really maximize what they can do for their team. But I don't want to go into a game plan all week saying 25 of my 65 offensive plays are going to be handing it to downhill Howard or Henry behind a fullback. You know, like, I can create offense in better ways. I want to get Tariq Cohen in the flat. I want to get him against the linebacker. I want to give Deion Lewis the ball anywhere. So they're a little outdated. Do you think, who we got? Joshua Redding asked, do you think Mike McCarthy is done after the season? Who's a good choice to replace him? Josh McDaniels. I don't have a great list of ideas of who to replace him. I do think he's done. I also think that's the best job that can open up. I mean, there's probably, and this will be something we probably do right after the season, but there's like 6, 7, 8 jobs that I think have a chance to open up. And to me, the Packers would be the best one. You know, financial stable organization, Hall of Fame quarterback, obviously that's the top of the list. But that roster needs a lot of work, and that scheme needs a lot of work. But I don't think McCarthy will be back. Last one here is Eric Otritz. I apologize, I butchered the heck out of your name. The Lions need a complete rebuild. If so, is Stafford still young enough to be the quarterback in the next version of the team? Yes, he absolutely is. I think he's in his prime. He's having somewhat of a down year, but I don't really blame him. Things are not going well for the Lions. However, I think I would give it one more year with Patricia's vision. Let him get his type of dudes in there and see how it goes. I'm shocked the offensive line isn't playing better. I'm shocked that the offense overall isn't playing better. Now they've lost Marvin Jones for the year. Bad year for sure, but I think I'm holding tight for another to see if this vision can come around. But if it doesn't, boy, does that set you back. I mean, considering where they were a year ago, I wouldn't say they were an ascending team, but they weren't a bad team. Guys, this was fun. I am a little crunched for time, so I'm going to wrap it up. But I'm glad I got to give you this extra podcast. Tomorrow, Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. Then Mike Sando on Thursday, and then we will pick games on Friday. So over and out. Take care. Spread the word. See you later.